Welcome, Pride of Detroit podcast, PODcast. It's back, baby. It's good again. Au, Wolf Howl. This is how we start things off on the Pride of Detroit PODcast. PrideofDetroit.com, Pride of Detroit on Twitter, Pride of Detroit on Facebook. You know where to find us. You know where to find us, absolutely. Climbing up those iTunes charts, climbing in here, climbing through your bedroom window, right into your ears, just crawling in there like little earworm or whatever. It's not the right thing, whatever. I'm Chris Perfett, the adequate host at Adequate Host. And joining me as always, Jeremy Reisman, the fearless leader at Detroit Online. Jeremy, how are we doing?
Not too bad. Busy Sunday morning, but I'm doing all right.
Are you doing better than Conor McGregor?
Yes. Also better than Jordan Hill, unfortunately.
We're going to get to him in a second. Hill, maybe McGregor too. I don't know. Ryan Matthews. At Ryan underscore POD. He is back here. Ryan, what's up, my rock god?
I'm here and I'm living and I'm ready to podcast.
You're living. I guess that is something you have in common with Conor McGregor.
I do, but there are like 137 million reasons why we're not the same person. So
most of them in accounting for brain cells right now, I think. Yeah. 130 million brain cells. You didn't
That's
lose those
exactly
last night.
What I was going after. Exactly. Yes.
I'm glad I could lay it out. And we're bringing back a friend here. Look, everyone, it's Brett Whitefield at PFF Brett. How you doing, Brett?
Guys, I'm so excited to be back. I woke up this morning, I walked outside, and I could smell football in the air. And that was awesome.
Are you sure that was football in the air or if it was just like a pesticide?
I'm pretty sure it was football. It was a little cool. It was damp. Distant smell of bonfire. I could vaguely hear drums in the background. Probably my imagination, but it was awesome.
I hear the drums echoing tonight. She hears only whispers of some quiet conversation.
Well, besides the preseason, we did actually have real honest-to-God football. The college football season keeps starting earlier and earlier, and high school football kicked off this weekend as well. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. In America, football's back, baby. It's good again. And unfortunately for us, though, the preseason rolls on for the NFL and for your Detroit Lions. And, I know we were really gassed up about the first couple of games a little bit, and we were preaching cautious optimism, and wow, that didn't really last long.
Emphasis on the caution.
Massive emphasis on the caution. Massive emphasis. The final score does not look indicative of what a crapper this was. 30-28 New England Patriots over the Detroit Lions. But in the first quarter alone, you just got to look at the score box, 24-0. 24-7 by the end of the first quarter. But I don't know. I was in class. Jeremy, did Tom Brady play in the second quarter?
Yes, he played. Okay.
Not the whole
too
first
far,
half, pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah. I think Garoppolo came in for either the last two or three or one or two series. Actually, it was just the end of the half series.
Yeah, just to run the clock out, pretty much.
Yeah. So, yeah, if there's something positive to take from the game, it's that the Lions did win that second quarter 7-0, although they were kind of gifted a really weird-looking Tom Brady interception that must have been a poorly run route by Chris Hogan. They forced a punt. They did force one punt.
That's something, I guess. I know Julian Edelman has limped off the field. I haven't really kept up with him. This is the Lions.
Torn ACL.
Torn ACL. Jesus. Ugh. Ban the preseason. Just, oh my God. Are you kidding me? But there's panic in Lions land today and over this weekend and probably on Monday, obviously. Because what we just saw was like just the Lions for the first quarter being put through the wood chipper. And Ryan, like, I don't know. How are you processing it right now? Like, because there's always going to be the arguments. Yes, it's the preseason. And like that also applies to those games we just watched too. And once again, because of the preseason, we're trying to sift through the tea leaves. But this is all supposed to be like game three is supposed to be your dress rehearsal. You're supposed to be at like full power, playing at full performance. And for the first 15 minutes, the Lions just looked lost.
I mean, after my second watch through of the game that I had the opportunity to do yesterday, there is no reason to be expectant of this Lions defense to be much different than it was a year ago.
Yeah,
and
I know they
were playing the Patriots, and I know they were playing the best quarterback of all time, but there were just a lot of things that stuck out to me on my second watch through that looked very similar to the problems that the Lions had last year on defense, and it was no bueno.
So I want to ask you about this because I do think like the linebackers have gotten better. Is it now just the onus is now on the defensive line?
Are we sure the linebackers have taken a huge leap because they were getting beat across the middle on the same routes that they were getting beat last year? So they've obviously upgraded their talent and the outlook at the position looks good. I mean, Jalen Reeves-Maven had a couple of good plays. Those coincidentally happened later on in the game. Jared Davis finally looked like a rookie. I know Jeremy pointed out on Twitter, like, oh, hey, look, the greatest quarterback of all time is making the rookie look like a rookie. And these things are going to happen. But in the meantime, I'm not trying to be too down on them, but we have to temper our expectations when they play against, you know, Scott Tolzien and Christian Hackenberg. And, you know, they don't have to play Tom Brady again for the rest of 2017. And that's probably the best thing that's coming out of this game is that they do not have to see the Patriots again until February.
I pretty much feel identical, and a lot of the onus here is obviously on the defense. They were just completely outmanned against the Patriots, and specifically your point about this team just looking identical to the way it did last year. I mean, the secondary looks okay. The secondary was kind of okay last year. I think a lot of people buried the secondary because of, you know, they gave up the highest percentage of completions in NFL history or close to or whatever. But a lot of that reason was because of poor linebacker play, because of poor slot play. And then maybe the majority of the reason really was because of a lack of a pass rush. And the Lions did not see any pass rush against the Patriots. They got a lot of play with some of their depth guys in there with the first teams. We saw Jeremiah Ledbetter. I think we saw some Valuaga with the first team. I didn't see them anywhere really creating any sort of pass rush except for A'shaun Robinson, which, I mean, he's having a fantastic preseason, and we didn't really expect any sort of pass rush to come from him. He was more of like a clogger on the defensive line and a guy who knocks down passes. But if there's one promising thing on the defense from that game, it's that A'shaun Robinson continues to look very good.
Brett, what's your take on all of this? You watched the game, right?
Yeah, I did. I've watched it 3 times now, thanks to my job. I think, you know, my biggest takeaway, I know the defense looked awful, and I won't deny that. But I think a lot of that is you can blame the offense for some of those problems. You know, obviously the fumble with Golden Tate gave the ball right back to Brady after he just crammed the football down your throat. So that was like, that was probably the worst possible thing that could have happened, and it happened, which is very reminiscent of something that would have happened last year. Mm-hmm. And then back-to-back 3-and-outs after that, and it was just kind of like, okay, we're really doing this. So, I mean, immediately the defense is on their heels. They played, I don't know, like 28 snaps in a row or something before the offense got a first down. So, I mean, that's horrible. I think the promising thing I saw from the pass rush was Zettel. He got 3 pressures, you know, against that first team Patriots O-line, which sooner than I literally tweeted, well, I've you know, officially figured out that Zettel cannot rush the quarterback. And then he rips off 3 pressures almost in a row. So, oh, great. Cool. but yeah, so that was promising. He had a few good reps there. He got a hit on Brady actually. And then Davis, the thing about Davis looking like a rookie, I don't know what Terrell Austin was thinking, but he had Davis in a few situations where he was covering slot receivers, like one-on-one in man coverage. Well, you know, that could probably happen in a zone look, but not, man, I don't know if Austin was just, you know, trying to see if he could do it or what happened there. But
when I was watching the game, one thing that stuck out with the defense is when the Patriots came out in that very quick, you know, no huddle offense, the Lions defense looked completely unprepared for that. And part of that is you obviously don't game plan too hard, even if it is a third preseason game. But it was kind of surprising to me to see that. And I think that's potentially what led to some early mismatches in the game. And you saw them try to, once the Patriots got into the red zone there, they tried to make some adjustments on the defensive line. I think they got their second team in there late. But that just kind of goes to show you like how unprepared they were, how gassed they eventually were, even just by the end of the first drive. So, you know, that's something
they got. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say that's something that you would hope the Lions would be much more prepared for if that was a regular season game.
For sure. They got stuck with three linebackers against 11 personnel for like three plays in a row. One of them was the play that Davis got killed on. I'm just not sure why you didn't have a safety over the slot receiver and Davis on the tight end, where it was the opposite. They had the safety on the tight end and Davis on, I believe it was Edelman that ripped that big one on him.
And another reason for that could potentially be maybe they expected going in to have Miles Killebrew, but he was one of a couple lines that were potentially injured during warmups and weren't available. So, you know, they were maybe a little bit more shorthanded than they expected to be at safety, but still not exactly a promising performance from the defense.
I mean, even beyond that too, just to add real quick, there was a snap where Quandre Diggs was lined up on Rob Gronkowski. That's a no-no. Mm-hmm. That's a huge no-no. 5'8" going against a guy as big as he is. I mean, Quandre had no other option but to commit pass interference. So where does
this lie? Like, I mean, at the end of the day, because obviously, and we keep saying their name all the time here, 97 won the tick. And I'm sure if I could, I'd tune in and hear the guys in the morning just screaming doom about this team after what happened. Although granted, it was on Friday, so it's probably erased by now. It was a long weekend. And as I said, we had the fight of the shit fight, really, to keep us distracted. But like on the scale of things, like I'm just still processing this, because like it's not gonna be as bad as those guys make it out. This team's not going to suddenly like wilt into a cabbage and go 2-16. But it's not
18 games.
Did I fuck two? I hate you so much, because I was trying to process in my head. I'm like, all right, make sure I get 16, make sure I get the actual number of the season, and I did it. 2-14. But I just don't know like how far we can really look at this team right now after that shellacking and think like, I mean, because they're going to play good quarterbacks and they're going to play a couple of good offensive lines. They're going to play Aaron Rodgers twice in this year. And I mean, obviously I saw some of the lowlights from Aaron Rodgers' offensive line in Green Bay. It doesn't look good there, but this defense is going to have real problems. And I think that has to put a clamp on whatever hopes you have for this team to get back to the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, just watching that game, and I've watched it a couple times now too, you can't help but just replace Tom Brady with Aaron Rodgers or Matt Ryan and just think like this is exactly what's going to happen in those 3 weeks this season. And it's very, very concerning. I mean, obviously, you can say everything you want about the Patriots and how good they are, but the Lions are going to face some really good offenses this year, and they'll continue to get better, I think, as the season goes on. Ryan kind of mentioned the outlook at linebacker looks really good, but it's going to be a rough get-go in the first couple months of the season. So I'd like to hope that the Lions improve enough on defense, you know, come November, December, maybe fingers crossed even in October, but it's going to be a rough go early on. And I think you put more stock into this than you do in the first two games, obviously, because it's one, because it's real competition, two, because it's the dress rehearsal game. But, you know, the Lions also did go from one extreme to the other. Christian Hackenberg to Tom Brady is just about as far away as two starting quarterbacks can be in the NFL. So the Lions obviously lie somewhere in the middle there, but it's probably closer to how they performed on Friday than it is how they performed in the first 2 weeks of the preseason.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a tough go. Like you mentioned, I mean, there are going to be a ton of quarterbacks that the Lions are going to face this year that are going to put the pressure on their defense. I mean, say what you will about Carson Palmer, but they start the year with him. They have Matt Ryan. They have Cam Newton. They have Drew Brees. They have Ben Roethlisberger. You mentioned Aaron Rodgers twice. Well, I was going to get to the most elite of them on Sunday, December 3rd, when they play Baltimore. But, I mean, that could be a Ryan Mallett game. But I don't know. When I think about the Lions defense and the ideal Lions defense, I always go back to 2014, and I always think about the pass rush that they were able to generate. And that was kind of like the hallmark of like the Terrell Austin defense, was pressure, 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 and everything else is going to work itself out. And he hasn't had that luxury since Ndamukong Suh left, and there really isn't anybody to step up to that huge void that he left. So it's tough right now. I don't know if either Brett or Jeremy wants to answer this real quick, or if they can even answer this real quick, but is there even a potential for Terrell Austin's defense to succeed if he doesn't have the pass rush?
Is it in A'shaun Robinson?
I don't think it's inside him, Chris. He alone cannot do it by himself.
He's only Robinson's one man.
He's not really even a pass rusher. He's more just you bat the ball down kind of guy. I hope he's improved in that area, but you know, he's definitely not like an attacking three technique, you know. So
right.
Is what they need. To answer your question, Ryan, I don't know. I don't think any defense can really succeed without a pass rush at all. So the question is, can they just get enough to be better than they were last year? I don't know. I mean, we're going to be trotting out probably two undrafted free agents or an undrafted free agent and a seventh round draft pick, you know, as part of our rotation. So that's going to be fun.
Well, let's move on here, because we need to play Impress to Depress. We've been playing it all preseason. I think this week we're going to have Brett get in on the action here. Brett Whitefield from Pro Football Focus is with us here. And speaking of the defensive line, there was a key injury who has now gone to the IR. This is going to put us in the Lions in more of a hole. So we're going to talk about that next. Stick around. Pride of Detroit PODcast rolls along, baby. Pride of Detroit PODcast rolls along here. I said we would, and here we are, just rolling, rolling, rolling. Shout out to Houston right now. I know they're in a really bad spot. Just watching the news right now while we do all of this. It's just kind of some terrible shit going on there. But let's get back to the Lions and talk about, before we get into Impress Depress, I want to bring up Jordan Hill. Today is Sunday as we are recording. And he was placed, was this morning, Jeremy? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, he was placed this morning on reserve injured. And that's going to be more brutal news for this defensive line. The Lions have signed a thing named Derek Lott to replace him right now. But like, yeah, no, this is one of the big acquisitions that the Lions made this offseason, and not going to be helping at all right now.
Yeah, I think this is, I mean, like all the focus after the game was Tahir Whitehead. He left early. He had a knee injury. People were worried about that. Turns out he's probably going to be okay. Even Cole Wick apparently is okay, according to Jim Caldwell this morning, which is good news, but this is real bad news. I know Jordan Hill wasn't a starter, but to me, he was either the number three or the number four defensive tackle on this team. And so he was going to get a lot of rotation in there. The Lions like to rotate their DTs more than any other position. And with a guy like Haloti Ngata at 30, whatever he is, he was going to get a lot of playing time. And he was one of the few defensive tackles that really had that pass rush skill. You know, he's that three tech guy that the Lions need. And so this is a significant injury, and this is a guy who didn't make a lot of noise in the preseason, but we had talked to Field Goals, the Seahawks podcast, and they said this guy had Geno Atkins type ceiling, which might be a little bit of a an exaggeration, but that's the feeling that a lot of people had on Hill. Like, he was a very promising prospect. He could just never stay healthy, and unfortunately, again, missing another full season.
Yeah, don't know else to say. It sucks. It's an injury in a place the Lions really can't afford it. At least it wasn't another defensive end. But if you're just going to make the defensive tackles thinner now, it's not going to be good.
Last thought on Hill. He was like the really only true three technique. Like, you know, all the other D tackles they have are pretty kind of, they're more suited to play one technique. I mean, I guess you could throw Ledbetter in the mix at three tech, but Hill was definitely that. I think they were banking on him to be the third down penetrating, you know, three tech. So.
And I think the interesting thing to that too, Brett, is that when Akeem Spence signs with the Lions, he talked about how in Tampa he was misused and that he's more of a three tech guy. Like, he likes getting into the backfield and penetrating. And I'm not entirely sure he's that guy. But he did show some flashes of it in the Jets game where he had a couple of good back to back plays. But Jordan Hill's a huge loss for a team that's already so thin. So.
All right, with that in mind, let's do Impress Depress. So if you haven't listened to us before, first off, shame on you. Shame, shame all day. But let's talk about what we do here is basically one guy who impressed you from the game, one guy who depressed you, one guy who you're just not feeling the morning after. So since we have a pretty crowded room here, I'm going to sit this one out. Let's start with Brett. Why don't you kick it off? Let's start on this side. We're going to start on the guys who impressed us. So just Brett, one name who you're feeling today.
I'm going to go DJ Hayden. He's impressed me the whole preseason, but, you know, I chalked up the first game like, well, you know, bad quarterback play, didn't really, you know, have to do a ton. Second game, Jets have no wide receivers. And then the third game against real receivers, he played incredibly well. I think he had like an overall grade of 80.1, which, you know, limited snap in the preseason, that's a pretty good grade. So in three games in a row now, he's played really, really well. He's not giving up anything. He's yet to give up a single catch, actually, all preseason. So that's my guy. He's impressing the crap out of me.
And the interesting thing, I think you pointed this out before the Patriots game, is that he's been getting a lot of play on the outside, which is not something that I think Lions fans expected. Is that where you kind of see him playing a role this year, is just like the backup outside option? Or do you think he's going to compete and win that slot corner job?
So going into the Patriots game, like you mentioned, he had played just 12 snaps over the slot. And when they signed him, we were kind of told, I think by Caldwell, that he was going to be the guy to play slot corner. And then this game against the Patriots, the only time he lined up in the slot was if his guy motioned into the slot. He's competing strictly on the outside and doing really well. I think the versatility aspect, the fact that he can do both well, he's got prototype size and athleticism for an outside corner. So that's great to have a backup that can play both. I think right now they're banking on Diggs. Like, he's kind of, I don't know, other than this game, he had looked improved, you know, so I think maybe he was still kind of penciled in as a starter there. So the obvious thing to do would be to try Hayden on the outside. But yeah, I think he'll be the third outside corner this year and you know, a backup slot option if needed.
I don't want to have to do this, but it's almost kind of like a reverse jinx. Jake Rudock impressed me in the Patriots game. I mean, he really did everything that was asked of him. And I think the proof is kind of in the pudding in the fact that Ian Rappaport's putting out a report that says that other NFL teams are interested. If you can shine up Jake Rudock to the point where other teams are inquiring about,
you jerk,
obtaining his services, I'm just saying that, like, the job has been done then. I mean, they took a 6th-round pick and they've made him so appealing. They took a guy who played 1 year with Jim Harbaugh, ended up in the NFL, was on the practice squad all of last season, and now it's to the point where other NFL teams are interested in adding him to their roster.
Yeah, there was even that point where it's like the Bears wanted to snatch him away and Bob Quinn moved him up to the main roster. So I think that helped his stock too, because it's like, oh, suddenly we're trying to, you know, look at the Lions. They're trying to preserve this guy. They're trying to, they think they've got a future in him or something.
I mean, like the, and that's kind of like marketing 101, right? Like, yeah. I mean, just, you know, if you make it seem like it's an asset worth attaining, other teams are going to covet it. And I think that it's entirely impressive that the Lions have been able to turn Jake Rudock into third string quarterback, practice squad player, obtainable, you know.
George Carlin stuff trash 101 here.
But let's give the Lions and Rudock some credit here, because it's not like the Lions acquired him just to polish him up and send him somewhere else. Like,
they didn't just get him for that, but I think after the first couple of years we can see like his arms just is just nothing. He's not I'm not going to derail this podcast again for Jake Rudock.
Listen,
we did for Christian Hackenberg.
We did for Christian Hackenberg.
Damn it.
I know his arm strength isn't amazing and he's not going to be a starter in the NFL, but having an adequate
you know, backup
quarterback in this league is important. You need a guy who, if Stafford, God forbid, misses just a couple games in a season, you don't want it to be two automatic L's.
Jeremy.
What?
Would you ever want Jake Rudock to be your starting quarterback?
No, I just said he's not a starting quarterback. Right.
Okay, so then why are other teams inquiring him? Well, like, why are other teams inquiring about?
I think what Ryan's saying is, yeah,
because here he is a backup. Like, if other teams want him, they want him to potentially play, or they see him as a starter.
That's why I think it's fake news.
we do have to consider the source.
There's no team out there.
He did break the Edelman. Jake
Rudock as a starting quarterback. Come on. That's not real.
I'm trying to think. I mean, we did just talk about Christian Hackenberg, and Bryce Petty did get injured on Saturday.
Could that just be it? Could it just be the Jets saw him?
The Jets were so impressed with Jake Rudock.
Oh, God. All right, no, Jeremy, tell me who impressed you from Patriots Lions.
Well, we've been talking a lot about the defense, and I think Brett is right that the offense deserves a fair amount of criticism, too. But the one guy that I wouldn't criticize this game too much is offensive tackle, left tackle, Greg Robinson, who I thought had his best game of the preseason with the Lions. He did have one particularly bad pressure given up on the play where Stafford juked that guy to next week and then threw that ball to Wick and got him injured. But I've been studying Greg a lot this preseason, and the one issue that I've seen consistently with him is his slow get up off the snap. He's always the last guy out of his stance. I saw maybe five or six instances of that in the first game. He played, an entire half in a series, and I think I only saw it once or twice. And he was looking really good. Like, that guy is super strong, and when he's in a position, he can put guys on their butt. And I saw him in the running game specifically do very well in that. He had a couple pancakes, and he got me to a point where I think now left tackle is like six or seven on my worry list right now, which is pretty impressive considering it was probably my number one or two worry heading into the preseason.
All right, let's move on to depress then, since we're kind of getting deep in it here. Let's go back to Brett. Who depressed you in this game?
Oh, man. A few guys did.
Give me one.
This guy's not a starter, so it's probably not that big of a deal, but I got to go Joe Dahl. That guy, man. What the heck?
Hold up. I before you go any further, I just want to ask for those who were listening to Chris Spielman, who I heard had a hell of a broadcast.
Oh, no, God.
I just want to know, did he ever say good job, Joe Dahl?
I don't think he did in this game. He had two in the previous game, but I think the count was at zero.
Yeah, if it's at zero, then I'm with Brett. Not a great showing for Joe Dahl if he can't get a good job, Joe Dahl.
Yeah, so Dahl, he earned the, so far in the week, he has the 109th ranked grade, game grade at 34.0. robust. it was just terrible. They tried him at center this game too. They tried him as like the second string center, and he was giving up pressures almost every play. It's almost like he put, because he was a left tackle in college. He actually was PFF's highest graded left tackle the year he came out, but we didn't project him as a guard or a center. But anyway, it's like he plays center or in guard like he's a left tackle, like with his, you know, inside foot backwards. And it's like he just, I don't understand what he does, but he gave up a bunch of quick pressures. And in the run game, he just got demolished. I don't really know. He's played so bad the last couple of weeks, especially this past game. I'm not even sure he can make the roster at this point.
Before Greg Robinson, before Cyrus Kwanjo, before Storm Norton, Joe Dahl was tentatively your left tackle.
Boats. Yeah.
Pause on that for a second.
Boats. Holy things, boats.
Things can be worse. Things can be much worse. Appreciate what we have.
All right. Ryan, who depressed you?
Matt Asiata.
That is very depressing. Can we just leave it there?
He had a 13-yard run, baby.
Look, I don't even really want to. Yeah, that was maybe the long. Is that his career long? I have an anecdotal story to tell real quick about Matt Asiata, but a couple of years ago when Adrian Peterson was suspended for beating his child, in our fantasy football league, Matt Asiata was such a coveted asset that I was willing to trade a television that I won in a golf outing to get Matt Asiata and a draft pick in future drafts, because it's a keeper league. Today, I would not offer any sort of appliance, commercial or residence, for Matt Asiata.
Okay. Ooh, that's bold.
Jeremy, who's your depressed one?
God, I kind of want to say Jared Davis, but we talked about him already a little bit. So let me go with Charles Washington, because there was some hype around him potentially making the roster, and he got some early playing time, especially with Miles Killebrew out of the game. I didn't see anything that people have been talking about this guy up, that he could potentially be that fifth safety on the roster. I mean, it's not a good sign for a guy like Alex Carter that he's getting all these snaps ahead of him, but I don't really know what I see in Charles Washington. I don't really know where all the optimism is coming from. He's obviously still young, still learning stuff, and you know, we're talking about an undrafted guy anyways, so the bar should be set pretty low. But for a guy that's had a lot of hype around him, I just haven't seen it yet. So he, I guess, is my depressed guy of the game.
All right, that's Impress Depress in the books. Congratulations to the three guys who impressed us. Sorry, Trails, to those who did not. You are the losers. You are off the island pronto. When we come back, we're going to be previewing the 53-man roster. It will be cut, trimmed, and sent to packaging by the time we record our next podcast. So we're going to have Brett here help us kind of sit through it, figure out who's going to be on the 53 and who is going to be the unlucky 47 who are going to get roses. I think I don't watch that show. I really don't know what do the losers get roses. Is that what happens?
No.
Or do the winners get roses?
No, our president comes in and he yells, "You're fired."
I would actually like to see that. I would actually enjoy seeing that. Brett Whitefield here with us from Pro Football Focus. We will be right back on the Pride of Detroit PODcast. Pride of Detroit PODcast. PrideOfDetroit.com. Find us on iTunes. I believe we've got a new title on there. It is now Pride of Detroit NFL Lions podcast, I believe is, yep, that's where you can find us. Look for it on iTunes. Look for that on Stitcher. Again, sorry, we're not on SoundCloud or Spotify. There's problems with both of those platforms that we cannot join, but probably if you use any other kind of app out there that taps into like the iTunes feed, you can get it. All right. 53 man roster is coming up. As before, as I've said before, like there is no 90-75. It is just going to be a harsh reality for, I think I said 47 last time. That's wrong. I can't do math. 37 players getting cut just all at once. Going to be anarchy and panic in the streets as people try to figure out what to do. And we got to figure out how to trim down this roster right now, gentlemen. So what do we feel so far? Like, barring a Jake Rudock trade, I think Brad Kaya, we can say definitely out, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. That's all.
Wait. I want to hear it from Ryan.
Yes.
Okay.
Idiots.
Out to the practice squad.
All right. So I'm just going to, you want, how do we want to do this? Should I just run down positions here?
Yes.
What do we think about the running backs? The Lions are going to carry four running backs. Who are there? So I think we can say safely Abdullah, Riddick, and I hate to say it, but Zenner. And then
you,
who's
you hate a lot. Zach Zenner.
Don't hate to say Zach Zenner.
He has no vision at all.
No, he has much better vision than the other power back the Lions have. Are we counting Matt Asiata as a viable option?
No, he's out.
Yeah, I think this is already set. Running backs, Dwayne Washington is your fourth guy in, and
yeah, I was just seeing who else was here, and I just realized it's Tion Green.
Yeah, so, he hasn't even been playing, so yeah, Dwayne Washington's your fourth guy. I think this is as close to a lock as you'll see on this roster.
Okay, how many receivers?
He played a lot better too. So
yeah, how many receivers are the Lions going to be carrying? I know we've been arguing about this nonstop.
This, we go from maybe the easiest position to predict to maybe the hardest, because I have no idea where the Lions stand at wide receiver. I think they're going to carry five. I think they should probably only carry four, but I think they're going to carry five. I can only tell you the top three locks. I don't know where the Lions stand on TJ Jones right now. We were fooled last year into believing he was a lock. He's also dealing with an injury right now. I still think he's in, but then you're looking at triple headed monster of someone between Jace Billingsley, Jared Aberderis, and Keyshawn Martin getting one of those guys are probably going to get a roster spot. And Martin has shown the most on special teams, but has shown virtually nothing as an actual receiver. So I don't know where the Lions stand there. I can't even give an answer right now.
Strangely enough, I think that's what gives Martin the inside track on that 4 and 5 spot. Is just that, is that all that special teams play, because he's just not going to come in that much. So I think right now I put the receivers, five of them at Jones, Tate, Galladay, Martin, and
the other Jones.
Yeah, I hate to say that. I really want to put Billingsley in there too, but then I realized, oh, yeah, it's not been a great preseason for your boy.
Brett, do you think that the Lions will keep four or five wide receivers?
I have them keeping five, and I have Tate, Jones Jr., Jones, Galladay, and I have Aberderis as the fifth.
I like Aberderis a lot too. I really do.
Well, what's the case for Aberderis? I just have not heard his name much this preseason.
So he caught a touchdown pass last week.
Oh yeah, that's right.
He did. He's played as a receiver. He's played very well all preseason. But he contributes on special teams. He's a very good gunner. He can play a little vice if he has to. And he has returnability if you need him to. I don't know that I would do that, but so yeah, I think special teams combined with the fact that he's a better receiver than those other guys, and he can play inside and out. He can play in the slot or he can play outside. I think the flexibility there is going to give him the nod, but we'll see. It is wide open. I like Billingsley myself. He just doesn't offer you much other than he's just a slot receiver, not a great special teams guy.
All right, tight ends. I think this is pretty much set in stone, right?
I don't think so.
I'm still unsure of who the fourth guy is. I think that the Lions will keep four tight ends. I think the top three are set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ebron, Fells, Roberts. For those of you out in listening land that think Michael Roberts could be sent to the practice squad, you're kind of fooling yourself. It's not anything that could happen in a real scenario, but The fourth guy is really up in the air to me. I'm not sure. Right now I'm bouncing between either Cole Wick or Tim Wright. Wright actually played last week. Wick did up until he got hurt, but Wick's been hurt a couple times. He got hurt in a practice that I was at during training camp. He got hurt in this Patriots game. Tim Wright is a guy who's obviously also battled injuries, but I think that he's a guy that not only the coaching staff likes, but obviously Bob Quinn likes from his time in New England. So I want to say that Tim Wright kind of has the inside track to be the fourth tight end. How do you guys feel?
I have Wright in myself.
Yeah, I like Wright.
And he's bulked up. He looks like a man now. Like he's big.
Looks like a man. Is he 40?
He looks like a man and he's 40. Like, no, before he kind of looked like a receiver.
Just, he did.
Like a slow receiver playing tight end. Now he looks like he's been able to maintain that kind of athleticism with some more bulk, which I think will help his game out a lot.
And especially because I think one of the practices that we went to during training camp, Brett, we saw the Lions line up with a tight end at fullback.
All right.
I mean, yeah.
All right, let's talk about the offensive line. This is a hard one to say out or in because there's a lot of names, but why don't I just read off some specific names from the line here, and you can tell me if they're out or in. So let's see here. Cyrus Kwanjo.
In out of necessity.
I'm going to say out.
Cornelius Washington. I almost did that there. Cornelius Lucas.
In.
I'm going to say out just because of money, but that's a tough one too.
Joe Dahl.
Practice squad.
Begrudgingly in for me.
Lakin Tomlinson.
In.
Storm Norton.
Out.
Practice squad.
Connor Bozick.
Out.
Brandon Thomas.
Out.
Out.
Corey Robinson.
Out.
They're only going to keep three tackles, right?
Who knows?
Well, I mean, four if you include Taylor Decker, but he's going to be on the pup. But like,
yeah, they're only keeping four, I think. But if you've got Kwanjo out, then I think he probably needs to be in, right? Or you got Storm in.
Cornelius Lucas in.
That would be three, wouldn't it?
Cornelius Lucas, Decker, Wagner.
Well,
Greg Robinson
against 53.
Right.
Yeah, Decker wouldn't count on that 53. So he could carry another tackle.
Right, but that's why I'm saying, because didn't they only keep three last season?
No, they kept Corey and Cornelius.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right, let's move over to the defense then. Let's just go with linebackers.
This one seems pretty set to me, too. I think the Lions keep... Well, I guess the only question is, do they keep a fifth, I want to say?
I mean, just looking here at Justin Roberts' list, he's got six in. He's got Steve Longa making the team.
I only had five making it in my latest prediction. I'm going to have another one this week. I had Longa out, but the top five are set, I think.
Yeah, Davis, Whitehead, Williams, Orlow, Reeves, Maben.
Yeah.
I have them keeping Longa as a sixth.
What a terrible outcome for as well. What a terrible, terrible year for Brandon Copeland. I really thought he was going to make this team.
Yeah.
Injuries,
if the
man.
Lions keep five, I think Warlow's the one out, not Longa.
Really?
Interesting.
As long as just impress you that much on special teams.
Yeah, and on the field, man. I know he's going against three, you know, low twos and threes, but he's been really good. And he's really their only true run stuffer at linebacker. He'll stack and shed better than the other guys they have, which is, you know, valuable to have in your back pocket if you're playing a run heavy team. So I like him. And he won't make it to the practice squad, I don't think. I think there's been enough linebacker injuries, you know, with lower depth guys that he could find himself on someone else's team.
All right, let's talk cornerbacks. Who do you think is out at corner?
Man, this is tough because all preseason I was railing that whoever wins the slot corner job was going to going to be in and whoever loses is going to be out. But I think at this point, DJ Hayden has played his way onto the roster regardless of whether he's going to be the starting nickel guy or not. So I think Quandre and DJ both make the team, meaning the Lions are going to have to make a tough cut or keep an additional cornerback. I had an additional cornerback on the roster in my latest prediction, but I'm looking at the roster and I'm thinking it wouldn't be out of the question for a guy like Johnson Badamosi to get cut. I still have him on the team, but you know, his special teams values is quite a bit, but I don't know.
I have Badamosi getting cut.
You do?
I do. He was really bad on special teams last year, and I know that's not the trend for him, but I just think that with the guys they've brought in, they can replace that a lot easier than, I guess the value to me is not there because he's so bad on defense. But I think Agnew is a good special teams player. So Hayden's a good special teams player. I think those two guys can kind of replace Badamosi's production. And then Warlow and Reeves Maben are also, and Longa, those are all extra contributors that we didn't have last year. So okay. I don't know.
All right, safeties. Is Charles Washington making this team?
No.
Is Alex Carter making this team?
No.
Yes.
Really? Okay. Assuming four safeties, who are you taking out for Alex Carter?
Don Carey.
Yeah. I don't know what happens with Don Carey. He needs to get himself on the field.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it, oh God.
But hold on. If you, Brett, you have Johnson Badamosi out.
I do. Yeah, Badamosi out. I got Carey out.
With Badamosi and Carey out, those are two stalwarts in terms of special teams production.
Yeah, I've already made my opinion on Badamosi's special teams play, but Carey, he's definitely a good special teams player. A, he's always hurt. B, they've brought in a lot of really good special teams players. A lot of these depth guys like Aberderis, you know, Agnew, Hayden, I mentioned those guys. Those guys can all fill those roles pretty well. And I think the only value that Carey really had in making the roster was that he can also cover the slot if he has to as a slot corner. And if they're keeping Diggs, Hayden, and Agnew, there's literally no reason for that to even factor into the equation.
And I mean, he's also 30 years old now. He's the oldest DB on the roster outside of Glover Quinn. So I mean, he can't keep it up forever, and athleticism is huge on special teams. And if he's starting to lose it at 30, you know, his value is certainly lower than it has been in his long 9-year career.
All right. Defensive line. How are we stacking this up? So I'm just going to read down some names here. Jeremiah Ledbetter.
He's a lock, I think, at this point after the Hill injury.
Yep.
Jeremiah Valuaga.
In.
Let's see here. Alex Barrett.
Out.
I have him out.
I guess out.
What about Derek Lott that they just signed? Like, is he making this roster, I guess?
I have no idea. I don't know.
TBD. What about Pat O'Connor?
I have him in.
I think I have Pat O'Connor in, too.
I have him in, but I think he'll eventually get pushed out by a free agent or a waiver wire pickup and then hopefully move to the practice squad.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Jeremy. That's exactly the scenario I see happening.
Ego Ferguson.
Out.
Out.
Got a big ego.
Did I read the rest of these names? I think we've pretty much hit the bottom of it. A lot of these guys.
How about Kyree Thornton? Let's talk about Kyree Thornton. Kyree Thornton.
Jesus, that was terrible.
He's obviously not going to be on the 53-man roster no matter what, because the Lions can put him on the suspended list. But do they end up cutting him anyways because of the 6-game suspension?
Yeah, I think there's going to be a free agent that gets cut that will be that fourth or fifth tackle for us now, with Hill being hurt and Kyree being suspended.
Yeah, I think I see things kind of playing out that way too, Brett. But real quickly, Chris, how are you going to enunciate shame, Jeremy?
Very carefully.
What are you talking about? Chris never pronounces anyone wrong. He just cuts it out when he does.
That's right. Post-production is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, that's right. You guys could learn it. Help me out. But no.
Oh.
All right. And then finally, specialists. Let's talk about the only name I want to ask here is about Casey Redfern, who I know is not making the team, but I mean,
well,
I don't know. Is Martin not ready?
That, I mean, that's an interesting question. Jim Caldwell was talked about it today during his press conference and said, essentially, you know, keeping two punters is a possibility, but we're not going to do it if it hurts the team. So Sam Martin, you know, he's on the NFI list. I think he can, I don't know if the technicality of how it's called, but he can be either moved to the PUP list or stay on the NFI list, which essentially is the same as the PUP. He's out for 6 weeks, could come back after that. So I think there's a possibility. I mean, we haven't seen Sam Martin even out there on the practice field yet. So I don't know. I guess it just depends on where he's at. But at this point, I'm comfortable enough in Casey Redfern that I'm not going to panic over it.
All right, let's take a quick break here. Brett, are you able to stick around for the mailbag?
Yes.
All right, Brett Whitefield from PFF, Pro Football Focus, with us. We'll be right back on the Pride of Detroit PODcast. We'll get into your questions. Mailbag. Mail time, hashtag ask POD. Once again, we're doing it all through Twitter now, which means we need your help, you damn weirdos. We need to get the weird questions in so we're not flooded with the normies asking us about the defensive line. So let's go. Get your questions in. You can ask whatever you want, hashtag ask POD. But before we do, Jeremy, we have a new review, which means 40 seconds of wrestling talk has been alleviated.
Thank goodness for Ryan Courier. You are my favorite. You are my Pride of Detroit listener of the week. He gave us a 5-star review entitled, good. Well done, fellas.
A 5-star frog splash review?
Nope. Anyways, the motley crew of Jeremy, Ryan, and Chris bring a take that resembles what many of us are, a bunch of guys that like to sit around and talk football with friendly banter back and forth about our beloved Detroit Lions. Suggestion, please try doing a Sunday pregame breakdown one time. I know this is a podcast review, but it's worth mentioning that their website is laid out cleanly and their Facebook Live interactions are fun to participate in. Keep up the great and sometimes adequate work, fellas. P.S. I'm sorry, writing this review technically throws a C-block wrestling talk.
I mean, the problem is the podcast is like, we'd have to go to like full-on POD radio to do like a pregame show, right?
But I think we should do at least once a pregame show on Facebook Live. And I think that's something that's definitely worth pursuing. Just like an hour before the game, go 30 minutes while I don't need to write anything.
Especially since now we can like get two people on these Facebook Lives.
That's exactly.
Pretty good. Yeah.
So that's something we're definitely going to be considering maybe for the whole season. So thanks for the suggestion, Ryan.
All right, let's get to the questions. I have not read any of these, so I am slowly trying to find my spot. Let's go with Young Italian. Should the Lions trade Rudock for Hackenberg?
We had like 5 requests via the Lions or via our Twitter account for more Hackenberg talk. Who threw 2-6 pick sixes on Saturday, by the way.
Hackenwatch 2017.
And I mentioned early in the podcast that Bryce Petty did get injured, but I think it was Schefter who reported in while we were recording that it was a minor injury and he should be good to go for the regular season. Mm-hmm. So that's right. That's your Hackenberg update of the week.
That's your Hackenwatch 2017 update. Yes. Ryan, this one's for you.
Yeah.
Troy Kilgore wants to know, which Lions regular season game are you most excited to simulate in Madden 18?
Oh boy, that's a really good question. I would have to say, no, it is a great question. I'm going to have to go with the week the Lions play the Cleveland Browns because it'll be such a roller coaster of emotions for a young Lions and Browns fan as I identify myself on the census.
Jesus. Okay, what about you guys? I mean, everyone here is playing Madden, right? Except for like Jeremy, who still has an Xbox 360.
I haven't bought a Madden in over 15 years.
What? What was the last copy of Madden you bought?
I don't even know. I've always thought about picking up the one with Calvin on it now that it, enough times has passed where it's probably like $10, but I don't know. Give Brett, me Tecmo.
Brett, do you play Madden?
I have very little time to play Madden, but I greatly enjoy it when I can play. So I buy every year's copy, even though I play it for 5 minutes. Yeah, I like it.
So which game do you want to simulate here from the Lions season?
All of them? I don't know.
This was a question best for me.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Okay, let's go here to N.E. Shaw, who asks us, do you think the Lions should hire Chris Spielman to act as Caldwell's coaching translator?
I think that's a great question and an even better suggestion.
I am not on board with Chris Spielman being in an announcing booth, but I am all about him following around Jim Caldwell on the sidelines and being the translator.
Can you just imagine Chris Spielman in a press conference, period?
What's his translation for Check the Report?
Stop asking me this motherfucking question.
We were talking about this on Saturday. Chris Spielman sounds like he was ready to suit up at that moment. When Tahir Whitehead went down, like he brings the pads wherever he goes, just in case.
He had his Puma uniform. His Puma branded blue and silver uniform.
And by the way, he doesn't just carry those to NFL games he calls. And not even just to Lions games, to all NFL games. When he's going to a college game, when he's down at like a high school or even a JV game for like his son or something, that uniform's there just in case. Put me in, coach, just in case.
Can I give my favorite Spielmanism of the game?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Right, I'm so mad that I missed Spielman's probably most best performance.
He was so livid. It was great. All right. This was when the Lions were finally starting to turn it back around in the second quarter. Jared Davis made a play and he goes, drive him back, Jared. You're getting it, son. You're getting it. And then there's literally 4 seconds of silence and he goes, all right.
I said this the other night too. Like, I know football doesn't have like home TV broadcasts like say every other sport does, but Spielman would be a shoo-in if we did. And I'm just gonna put this out there, man. Dan Miller with Chris Spielman on color.
There's way too much frenetic energy in that booth.
Man,
that is not a yin and yang environment.
They're going to have like 5 pop guards on Spielman's mic.
There was a moment in Saturday's game where Spielman actually asked, did I just say that out loud?
What? The guy has no filter. Because, I mean, there are other points of the games where he's just like, all right, now this is where we can start to, you know, this is where we can start to develop a rhythm. And it's like, why are you doing the wee thing?
He still is. I need to get his jersey. I haven't bought one of the new jerseys yet, and I really need to get one of Chris Spielman.
Oh, my God.
Monte White asks us, starting to get real antsy about Stafford's contract extension. Should I relax, or are we near the panic arena yet? So I put out my article, and I said where I lie on this. I am conspiratorial, and I believe that Stafford is mad about how they handle Levy and Johnson, so he might be making them sweat or deciding to go somewhere else. What do you guys feel? Is it time to panic yet? You, Jeremy, you are always the one of caution. It is now preseason week 4. Where are we at?
September 5th. Circle it on your calendars. Tuesday, September 5th. That's when it's going to get done.
8 days. Oh, 7 wow. days from when you're hearing this. Okay.
And it's going to get released at 7 o'clock in the morning and Jeremy's going to hate himself.
Yep.
Going to wake. Yep. 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 All right. Ryan, where are you at on this?
He will 100% sign a deal before the beginning of the regular season.
Right.
There's literally no reason to panic. They virtually own him. So, I mean, even if he doesn't sign a contract, he can still be in a Lions uniform for 3 more seasons.
Hashtag we own the Stafford.
Yeah. He's not going to, like, they can franchise him back to back. He'll still be at market value. And he'd be dumb to not want to work out a deal at that point because he'll be in his 30s. So, yep.
All right. Brendan Savage, considering the lack of pass rush, do we keep our Monty Bryant on the roster and wait out the suspension?
Absolutely. He's not a good pass rusher, sir. No.
Oh.
I don't know. I think for Armani Bryant, like, he's a guy who he works in a very limited fashion. Like, I mean, even in his time with the Lions last year, it was like, whoa, a play from Armani Bryant where he got to the quarterback. And then for the rest of the game, it was, where's Armani Bryant?
Yep. Pretty much.
And he's been fighting through.
He had like 3 sacks.
Yeah.
Right. And like 6 total pressures. So like he doesn't get any pressure, but when he does, it's a sack. So.
Right. And it's also worth noting that they don't have to carry him on the roster. He again goes on the suspended list, yeah. like the Lions used with Andrew Corliss last year and then ended up cutting Corliss anyways. But I mean, there's no harm in keeping him on the suspended list, right? I mean, keep him around in case another injury happens or who knows what happens with Ziggy. I mean, there's no reason to cut Armonte Bryant at this point.
All right. Last question here from the main man who wants to know, can you guys remind me why hashtag we own the Bears? I mean, I know why. I just really like hearing it out loud. I mean, the season's almost upon us, my man. So why not lay it out?
We own them because we didn't trade up one spot in the rest of our draft for one guy who's barely played in college. We own them because we've beaten them 7 out of the last 8 games. What am I missing? There's a lot of reasons why we own the Bears.
Chicago sucks.
they signed Roberto Aguayo.
That's a good one.
They signed Mike Glennon and then went out and drafted Mitch Trubisky.
And Glennon got mad.
Jay Cutler was their starting quarterback for a long time.
That's a good one.
I like Cutler.
He can't come back on this podcast.
I like Cutler in Miami more than I ever liked Jay Cutler in Chicago, except for the season he played with Adam Gase, which makes sense why I like him in Miami now.
I just want to remind, like, they went 5-11 that year, though, that vaunted Cutler year.
Did they really?
Yeah,
nobody talked about that.
Yeah, I mean, hold up. I need to go look. Damn it. Now I'm quoting some from Drew McGarry, and now I'm in, like, dangerous territory. So that was, what, 2015?
Sounds like you're in adequate territory.
Hyper adequate.
I mean, if the Lions ever make it to an NFC Championship game, I don't think Matthew Stafford will ever ride an exercise bike on the sideline.
Yeah, they went 6. Oh, hold up.
Now we're having trouble reading charts.
Nope. They went I was off by one game. They went 6-10 in 2015.
6-10 or 6-12?
You son of a bitch.
All right. Let's wrap it up, folks.
Goodbye, everyone. Oh, well, before we go, let's get everyone's stuff in here. Brett, I know I gave your handle out at the beginning here, but where can people find your stuff?
So at @PFF_Brett is one spot. And just brand new, this is actually breaking news. You guys are the first. You guys should feel honored right now.
Exclusive.
We have started a PFF Detroit Twitter account that I will be managing. Ooh. The feed there will be just exclusively Lions content. So
hell yeah, baby.
You want to? Yeah.
Ooh, I see it.
So you can find me at @PFF_Brett. It's new. It's not even 24 hours old. So
I'm the 8th and 9th follower now.
Come on, let's go.
Woo. All right. PFF Detroit. I've got that's it. God Christ, guys. I have such a great supporting cast.
We just got an exclusive for like the first time in POD cast history. That's exciting.
I'm sorry. I'm on my Twitter.
Ryan's just playing Madden right now.
I don't even know where the out is now. I'm just going to cut it out there when we're just laughing uproariously at me awkwardly being like, PFF Detroit.
All right. Thanks, Brett.
Thanks a lot, Brett.
Do what you need to do.
Thank you for listening to the Pride of Detroit PODcast. We are on iTunes and Stitcher. Our main theme was produced by Brian Shepherd. You can find him on Twitter and on SoundCloud at I am Brian Shepherd. IamBrianSHEPARD. Thanks a lot to him. Check out his stuff. He's been great. He gave us Victory Monday. So go check him out. That's I am Brian Shepherd. And thank you for everyone who keeps listening and makes us one of the greatest Lions podcasts possible. Y'all are awesome. See you, Star Side.
All right, let's rock.
Yeah, let's roll. All right, you got it. Ready to go, Jeremy? All right, let me find the questions hyper quick.
Oh, God. Don't watch that injury.
What Cameron injury? Meredith?
Yeah.
Put it in Slack.
No.
Yes.
Fine.
I saw a GIF of that, and I couldn't figure out where he was on the field, so I'm just fucking stupid. So
Left lower leg.
I feel like the... Oh, no! Oh, my God.
Jesus.